Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
How's everybody doing this wonderful morning? Pastor caught me this last week and was talking to me going, "I don't know if I can do this Sunday. Can you do it?" I said, absolutely. I'll be honored to preach to such a great group of people. And, of course, you get to preach the Word of God. And so I asked him, I said, "Well, what's the topic?" Because I knew every Sunday this month was being thankful for certain things. And he said, "Well, this Sunday is thankful for family." And it instantly took me back to when I was a kid growing up. Let me just ask very nicely, how many has got absolutely crazy families? Okay. All right. So we're all in the same boat this morning. I have a great dad and a mom and so sisters and brothers, you know. So it was sort of one of those deals. As I started looking back over my life, my dad was an incredible, a hard worker. Worked in a place that made toilets and things, that kind of stuff. And that's tough work. And he did that, all of his life. So they set great examples, for me and my mom. When my mother passed away, only 64 years old, I've actually outlived my mother now. But when she died at 64 years old, she never headed anything up in the church, never done anything in the church big, whatever. But her funeral was incredible. People were there just pouring out love towards her because of the lady she was. And so I got two things in my family that's really good, my mom and dad. And I have five sisters, one brother, so there are seven of us in my household. And there are in my family, I hope they're not watching this morning, there are some crazy people in my family, amen. So good things that can come out of craziness. You're all here as testimonies to that. You look back on your own life and you go, "Wow, how did I get to this point in my life? How did I get saved? How am I halfway sane today?" Okay, well, the deal is we're trying to figure out whether our families are normal or abnormal. And so as the pastor gave me this assignment, again, looking in the Word of God, doing some surveying, talking to different people about their families, I ran across just a little bit of story talking about normal and abnormal people. There was a pastor that was visiting a mental hospital, and he asked the director, "What is your criteria of whether a person is put in, institutionalized, or, they get to come and go?" Well, the director said it's really, 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 really simple how to determine whether they need to stay or go. He says, "We fill up a bathtub with water, and then we offer them a teaspoon, a teacup, and a bucket. And we ask them to pick whatever they want to pick and empty the bathtub." The pastor says, "Well, I understand. A normal person would take the bucket, and because it's bigger and you could get more water out per slug, And the director said, No. "A normal person would reach down and unplug the." So he asked the pastor, "Where do you want your bed to be?" Are we normal or abnormal? I mean, that's what we all think about. Again, I've had my great moments growing up in the house that I'm in. This morning, my daughter is here, some grandsons. My son's not here, but we've had a great family. Again, ours, dude, you're all right. Say something nice about him after service. He's okay. You know, matter of fact, when we moved here, Jessica was just going into high school. She was her first year out at B&L. And it was funny, we went there for the first time, and she didn't want to go there. There was a bunch of crazy people there. And you say, well, why? Because every truck out there had a gun rack in it, and there was guns in it. And she said, we're all going to die, you know, because these gun racks. But she found out that that was a good thing, not a bad thing. And we've had a great, great life as a family. Jackie and I have been married for 48 years, just finished that last July. So we're 49 this next year. And I know some of you got us beat by a mile. You know, you've been married for many, many more years than that. But I am thankful for my upbringing. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my wife. I think she's the cutest thing here. I'm sorry, guys, but I do, you know. Anybody disagree? Every husband should have disagreed. But we look at our lives and we go, wow, we have been blessed. And I hope that's how you feel about your life, about your marriage and your family. And the pastor just a moment ago prayed for, you know, all the different things from, you know, in-laws and outlaws and the church family and all of these kind of things. But I want to tell you this morning that the only reason that you flourish as a family is because of the grace of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, we think that we are doing it all on our own. Well, we're really not. It's the grace of God that steps into our hearts and our lives. When Jackie and I were first, you know, married way back in 1973, how many wasn't even born in 1973? Yeah, a lot of people. I tell you, we made a commitment to one another that this was it for us. And so I am super, super glad that she's put up with me all these years and that I think she's going to keep me around for a little bit longer. But Jackie and I have done a few things. We've, you know, had marital counseling with people. We've done marital retreats, some here down Spring Mill, if some of you remember. And we did it in other places. And so you might look around this morning and look at certain people or certain families in this place, maybe the Dodds or someone else, and go, wow, I think they got it all together. Well, the answer to that is no. Nobody has got it all together. Everybody is learning. Everybody is trying their best to put their lives together, to serve God, to love family and friends. And I have to tell you, family is a little bit odd. And I hope you understand that. That's not a negative. It is just the truth. So what we're ministering on this morning is not out of, oh, look at the Dodds and see how great they are. No, I don't want you to do that. We might minister a little bit out of our failures this morning, but not out of our strengths. I want to go to a scripture that is sort of a little bit odd for this setting. It is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. Peter is writing about all kinds of things at the end of the life, and he gets down to this one point, and he says, the end of all things is near. Wow. Therefore, be alert and sober-minded so that you may be able to pray. And then 8, 9, and 10 deals with just people in general. And it deals with families, and it deals with everyone. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling about it. Each of you should use whatever gift you have that you've received to serve other people, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Today we are here with the church family and with our personal families. And you look around about and you're saying, does the Word of God have any directions for us as families that we should do that would make our lives a little bit easier? And you don't have, we're not going to go to them individually. I'll just tell you what they are. But in Ephesians, starting in Ephesians chapter 4 all the way up to Ephesians chapter 6, it really gives us a few things that we can do in our families and probably just in our church to make life better and to be a little bit more perfected in our families. I'm just going to read them to you because I'm not going to necessarily minister on them too much. But it says, children, obey your parents, for this is right. Kids, pay attention to your parents. I better not do this next one. I was going to skip over this next one. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband as unto the Lord. I was almost opting out of that one. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. Fathers, and I put down parents, it says it to fathers, stop exasperating your kids. Stop making them mad and trying to drive them crazy. And then the one, I've always told you that there are scriptures in the Word of God that I wish wasn't there. And this is one of those. It's Ephesians 4:26. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. Now let me ask you a simple question. You can raise your hand if you want to or not. How many has ever went to bed still mad? And you say, tomorrow I'll take care of this. I'll get okay by tomorrow. There's some very simple things that we can do as Christians, as families, as the children of God to make our families just a little bit better. And they're not difficult ones. They're not hard at all. They're found right here in the Word of God, Ephesians, all through it. But I still wish the Lord would have taken out the last one because, it's sort of fun to go to bed a little bit mad and then you can fume about it. You can dream about your response to that. I'm going to get them for that. And all the time the Lord is speaking to your heart and your life and saying, you need to get over this, dude. You need to get over this and get on with life and bring back a loving and a caring family. So again, if you look at the Dodds or you look at anyone else here in this place and go, wow, I bet that they do all of these things, I would vote that nobody does all of them all the time. How many falls down on a few of these? Amen. You and I are just imperfect people. And you say, wow, this is a great sermon for a family deal. I want to make it worse for you just for a second before we get to the good part. If you go to Matthew chapter 1, which we don't need to really go to, it is a history of Jesus's ancestries. It goes all the way back to Abraham in chapter 1 of Matthew, and it lists people there that came before Jesus, that was part of his family and his lineage and all of these things. And you find in there some really, really, really crazy people. And of course, even not in that list back to Abraham, there's also other people. You go to the very first people that was created, Adam and Eve, and you have them in the garden, and man, they're having a great old time. And then they destroy it for every single one of us here today. Now we, because of them, are born and shapen in iniquity. That's the King James Version. That means you're just flat out sinners when you're born. And it's all his fault. You say, well, I thought it was her fault. No, she was deceived. He did it willingly. Oh, come on, ladies. It says she was deceived, and he looked at the father and looked at his wife and looked at the father and looked at the wife and says, you know what? I think I'll choose her over him. He did it willingly because sin didn't come into the world until he did what he did. She was just walking around going, "Oh, I don't know what happened, but it's how, wow." And then after he, that's whenever they ran and got naked and all, you know, "Oh no, what are we going to do now with our lives?" They had two sons and one killed the other. And so we started out our existence here on this earth in a real grand manner, didn't they? It goes all the way back to Abraham. And you say, "Well, Abraham is the father of our faith." Well, let me see. He tried to give away his wife a couple times. Seriously, he did. Pharaoh, "I don't want to die. Take my wife." "Well, is she your wife?" "No, she's my sister." What an idiot. And he is the father of our faith. Get down, and he goes, "Well, I don't know if God's promise about me and Sarah having a baby is true." She says, "Well, I got a solution to that. Take my maid and have a baby with her." "Well, that sounds great to me." Our lineage is crazy. We come, and you know, you go on down through there. Part of Jesus's ancestry is a prostitute up in Jericho that helped the spies get out, and she's part of this lineage. You have David and Bathsheba. David, the King David, he's walking around on the top of his house one day, glances over, sees Bathsheba, and goes, "Whoa, baby." That's what he said. I don't think it's in the Bible, but that's what he said. And he said to one of his servants, "Go down and get that woman and bring her up here to me." So they go down and get Bathsheba, bring her up to King David. Now, I have my own theories. I can't prove it from the Word of God. But she's married. She's committed to her husband. He's off to war. And David brings her in. I think it was not consensual first time. I think he basically raped her because he was a king. She was nobody. "Get in here and we're going to have sex." And whenever Jesus comes someday, he's going to sit on the throne of David. Seriously? David has a heart after God. He sends Bathsheba's husband to the front line to be killed. Good grief. Now you're saying, "Ma, this is horrible. This is horrible stuff this morning, Pastor. Please stop." But I wanted you to know this morning that out of all of this horribleness, out of this, all of this dysfunction, Jesus came. What a great thing to give testimony to, because you don't have to be a family that is perfect. Aren't you glad? You don't have to come from an ancestry that wow, we can, you know, we have 32 preachers and 32 preachers' wives, and we're all perfect down through our lives. No, you come from dysfunction. You come sometimes from broken families, and God can still do in your heart and your life what you cannot imagine. Mary is hanging around one day at the Christmas time. Angel comes. "Hey, guess what? Going to have a baby. The Holy Spirit's going to be the dad." Okay, you have Joseph a little later on going to divorce her. He was going to treat her right, not going to stone her, because he could have. He's going to treat her good, just divorce her privately. The angel comes to him and goes, "What are you doing?" "Well, you know," they say, "you know what? No, you're not going to do that." And out of this relationship of a woman, I mean, come on, think about this. You're living in this little town. And you tell all of your in-laws and outlaws, "Oh no, what's happened to me is from the Lord." "Yeah, sure, Mary. Yeah, how'd that happen?" "Oh, the Lord visited the Holy Spirit upon me." And so they were just wrecked in this place. And everybody looked at them and went, "I don't know what's going on with these people." Out of dysfunction came Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you today that I don't know what your history is altogether. Now, I know many of you because we were here for so long. I know many of you, and I know your past and your history, and we probably have counseled with some of you, and we've talked to some of you, and you're going, I don't know if God can do in my life and with my history and with where I'm at in life. I don't know if he can use me or not. Let me tell you that God can use you. God can use your offspring. God can put aside the things that brought you to negative stuff, and he can bring about some wonderful stuff in your life. I've joked with all of you, and you've known this when I was pastoring here, that many years as growing up in school, I was a stutterer. Is that a word? I stuttered. A stutterer. And I think it's sort of funny for the Lord to look down from heaven and goes, hey, you, that kid right there that stutters a lot, I'm going to make you a preacher. You're going, what? What's this? Do I have any preachers in my background? No, there's nobody in my life. I had one pretty close to me that was a topless dancer in a nightclub once. You know, I mean, that's you know, pretty spiritual stuff, you know. I mean, we look at our past and we go, wow, how in the world did we get here? How many of you know that it was a miracle? It was a God's grace and mercy that allowed you to come to this point in your life, that you're sitting in this congregation at First Assembly of God in Bedford, and you are saved. You are heading to heaven. You're born again. How wonderful is this coming from your background? Now, I realize that some of you had wonderful backgrounds. Yeah. And I'm glad you did. But some of you look to your past and go, oh my goodness, how in the world? And I want to tell you, God loves you. And what we must do is love family, love our church, love our Lord. It is a wonderful thing even when people are not so nice in our families. Does anybody have an uncle that comes for Christmas that you wish didn't come? An aunt so-and-so that pops in and you go, oh, aunt so-and-so's here, oh, please. But they're still family. All my crazy family. Okay. I still love them, care for them. Out of 5 sisters, 4 of them are already dead and from various things. Many of them didn't live for the Lord at all for most of their life. And as I hear about their deaths, because we didn't live close, we were down in Texas and they were up here and all that kind of stuff, I find out, hey, John, your sister, before she was getting ready to pass away, received Christ. My brother went to see my one sister, what that was, she was way out there, in the hospital when she was dying. And he went in and she confessed Christ and found out a little later on that one of my cousins had been taking her to gospel meetings in church, and she had come back to the Lord after all these years of being crazy in the world. And I want to tell you, God cares about family. And I would encourage you not to get rid of or not to disown people in your heart and in your life that the Lord loves. The Lord has a plan for every one of us. I think Jesus could have looked back at his genealogy and goes, wow, I wish we could have done this a little different, a little bit better. I'd have liked to come from a little bit different seed than I came from. But here he was with the knowledge of sin, in not personally, but in his family. Walking around this world knowing that people are not perfect. If you think you're perfect today, and you would raise your hand and say, yeah, I'm right there, you got some real issues. There is none perfect whatsoever. And one of the things that has sort of interested me as I've sort of went down through life, grown a little bit older, is I've seen people that I go, and even in younger ages, sort of look down upon. You ever do that? Well, they're so stupid or they're so ignorant, they make so many mistakes. Let's just look down. And I find out that we're all susceptible to the same things. And so if we want a break given to us, we need to give a break to some other people. Amen? I think the Bible says if we don't forgive, we can't be. You guys know that scripture? That's a horrible scripture. Come on. I want to be forgiven whether I forgive anybody or not. I want Jesus to do for me whenever I won't do for anyone else. But that's not how life works. You are in today, maybe, a very uncomfortable situation in your family, in your past. And you may be saying, wow, I wish the Lord could do something. He can, and He will. Jesus came out of a very dysfunctional family going backwards. Now, I realize Joseph and Mary was the happening dudes. They were, I mean, wow. You look at them and you go, they were the perfect people. We still don't know what happened to Joseph, though. I guess when we get to heaven, we'll figure out what in the world happened to Joseph. But the deal is, we love and we forgive and we help and we bless. I just want to give you two sort of quick things today. First of all is this. Love makes up for practically anything. That's what the Bible says. Now, we realize, because even as a pastor, I know that if somebody comes to me and says, so-and-so has been molesting children, I don't care how much you love them, you gotta make sure somebody knows about it and they're arrested and all that kind of stuff. Abuse of children, abuse of wives and all that, it's all there, but practically anything can be covered up by love. Aren't you glad that somebody in your life loves you so much that they overlook some of your stuff? Yeah. Overlook some of my stuff because they love me. It's just part of life. It's part of what we do. Matter of fact, one of the translations of Colossians says this. Love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. It makes up for your shortcomings. It makes up for the shortcomings of your spouse. It makes up for the shortcomings of your parents, and it makes up for the shortcomings of your children. Wow. There's a lot of people here today that's got a lot of baggage. And the grace of God has saved you, has changed you, and put you in, as our pastor prayed just a minute ago, he's put us in a family unit and then a family as a church. Aren't you glad for your church family? And I would encourage you as you live together in this family that you give each other a break from time to time. People need it from time to time. I need it from time to time. And every one of us are at a place that we go, Lord, allow me to live in this wonderful thing you've called family. My wife, my children, my grandchildren. Still, my brother is still alive and my youngest sister is still alive. Wonderful, wonderful people. Not perfect, but I love them because they're family. We today must be thankful for our family. We must be thankful that God has put into our lives people, sometimes that we don't even particularly like. That could be a possibility. You may have a brother or a sister or a cousin or an aunt or an uncle or somebody that is nuttier than nuts, and you're going, I wish they just weren't around. But if you're getting forgiveness, they deserve forgiveness. Scripture says this, talking about love, and everybody knows this portion of Scripture, 1 Corinthians. Love is patient and kind. It does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave unruly, does not seek its own, does not get provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then Paul makes the ultimate conclusion, love never fails. This is what you and I are up to today in our family, loving and caring for those around us. Because there's sometimes I go through things that Jackie just says, I love you still. Sometimes she goes through things, I just say, I love you, baby. I love you still. She's right back there. What a wonderful, wonderful lady. She's a babe, too. Oh, you are. She's shaking. No. The family is an incredible dynamics. And if we can learn somehow to love those the Lord has placed in our lives, it'll revolutionize us. It'll teach us how to receive forgiveness and give forgiveness. It'll allow us to learn how to love beyond circumstances and situations. And then lastly is just this, and I'm just going to read a few scriptures, but I think it's interesting that the Lord has asked us to submit to one another. And I think that's one of the reasons why families and people do not get along well. All creation is told to submit to God. God is the head of Christ. All creation has been put underneath the headship of Christ. The church is said to be submissive to Christ. And the church leaders, or the church is submissive to its leaders, our pastor and various people. Children, again, submissive to the parents. Citizens, oh no, submissive to their governments. Okay, if we have to. We'll pray through that a little later on. Today, the Lord loves you, cares about you, cares about your family, cares about where you're at. And I know that Jesus is not going to be born again in this world. That miracle is already done. He's in heaven making intercession for us. But miracles can still come from your family. Great preachers of the word, great teachers. How about some great Royal Ranger and missionette leaders? How about musicians and singers and worship leaders and people that would just take up offering and run sound and run videos and whatever it is? God can do miracles in every one of your hearts and your lives. I have 7 grandkids, and I'm praying that God will mightily use 1, 2, 3, or 7 of them in His great work. God can do miracles in your life and in your family. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord God, for your mercy, your grace, your love. Lord God, there is absolutely nobody like you. Lord God, you take us that are so imperfect. You take, Lord God, families that are so messed up from time to time. And you raise people out of them to be saved and to be leaders and to be preachers and to be Christians that love you and care for you. Father, do a mighty work in this place with these families and allow us, Lord, to never, never, Lord God, say there's nothing could happen in my family. Because, Lord God, you can do the miracle that'll astonish every one of us. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify your name. Thank you again on this Thanksgiving time for our families that we enjoy and sometimes, Lord God, we even just put up with. Lord God, help us. Lord God, be for us what needs to be. And Lord God, we'll give you thanks and praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I don't know if the pastor is wanting to come back and say anything this morning, but what I'd love for us to do, if he wants to, I just want us to stand. If you are around family, whether you say thank you to anybody for anything, I want you to turn to your family and say at least, I love you. I love you. Come on, right now. Grab somebody around the neck. family members in the church, family members in your family, tell somebody you love them. Give somebody a hug, shake a hug around the neck. Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to thank again the pastor for allowing me to preach from time to time. Again, he was sick in the throat today, so it was an honor to minister to you today. I hope that as you go through, if you come to Christmas and Thanksgiving and Uncle Jim comes, go ahead and treat him good, okay? You know, love them and care for them. God bless you. If you want to spend time around an altar, you're sure welcome to do so. God bless you this morning. You're dismissed.